let Craig adjust my level. Came in real loud and clear there. If you would, come on in and get a seat. We'll begin our class. We are lesson 10 of 13 weeks, so that means after today, we only have three more weeks. We're talking about one anothering, and I repeat this a lot, but generally that's for the benefit of our visitors. When we say one another, we're talking about caring for and being cared for by one's fellow traveler in the way of Christ. And we've focused on passages that contain this phrase, one another. And we've looked at a lot of topics or principles. Most of them involved a command, a direct command, and thereby being a principle for us. We've covered a lot of these, and so we've got about three left to do. After this week, we'll do encourage and love, and we'll finish up with action. But today we're going to talk about submitting to one another. Last week we talked about admonishing one another. Admonishing or admonishment means to instruct or warn. Training by word. And we all need to know not only how to give admonishment, but we also need to know how to receive admonishment. We spent time talking about that. This week we're going to talk about submitting to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We'll get to that in just a second. I got to admit that this was a particularly challenging lesson for me. This was the one lesson I didn't have. I've never taught 13 lessons. Seems like I'm always being, I don't know what the right word is, somebody intervenes. And there's a special topic or a special speaker or something. And I've never had this many classes before. So I had toyed with a number of different topics. There were two or three that involved one another that were direct commands that I felt like I might just look at all at once. But as I studied and prepared, it became obvious that this was the one that needed to be taught. Now, I feel very inadequate to teach it because it involves some texts that I always find challenging, but we're going to look at it anyway. Before we go any further, I want to do just a little bit more review. If you recall, we said that one anothering begins with some things: loving God, loving your neighbor, denying yourself, and following Jesus, and love of one another. But today, I want to focus particularly on this passage about denying self. I don't know how you deny self if you do not have a spirit of submission. If you do not have an attitude of submitting just a little bit, you're going to have a hard time denying self, picking up your cross, and following after Christ. So, having said that, before we dive into it, let's pause and have a word of prayer. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, we praise you for your word, and we praise you for the truth that we find there, and help us as we look at it to know and believe and trust in you and your word. Help us to know and understand that you are alive and working in our lives, and as we read and study that you help us to learn how we're to behave, especially towards one another and our relationships that we have. Father, help us to grow and be edified by your word. Help us to be dedicated to looking at it more frequently than just on Sundays, Lord. Help us to open it daily, to read it, and to try and understand what your will is for us as your children. Father, we do appreciate so much the beautiful weather outside, and it gives us the opportunity to see your creation, and as spring is upon us, it's sort of a renewal. And Father, allow us to understand and know that it is your creation. And help us to tell others about you and your creation and your works, Father, as we go through our daily lives. Father, as we begin to look at your word at this time, we just ask that you bless us, that you be with us, that your spirit be among us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. It seems a little bit ironic to be talking about submission after so many passages that talk about unity and oneness. We've looked at Galatians 3:28 frequently, and that tells us very simply there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Yet the word does specify certain roles and certain responsibilities within those roles. So today we're going to look at both superior or authoritative and also submissive or subordinate relationships. The early church struggled with it, and it seems only logical that we struggle with it a little in this day and era as well. Before we launch into it, I want you to consider these, you know, we're going to look at these three relationships, wives and husbands, children and parents, slaves and masters. So what was the culture like in the first century relative to these relationships? Stricter? What about the wife? What was her life like? Did she have a lot of autonomy? No rights whatsoever. Yeah, that probably sums it up very accurately. What about children?
They didn't sass as much.
They didn't sass as much. Okay, probably true. But they may have fit into that same category, right? Not a lot of rights. They were heirs, and it was important to have them, especially to have a lot of male children. But beyond that, maybe not much. What about slaves and masters? What kind of rights did slaves have? None. In fact, a master could, in many areas, could put the slave to death without any repercussions. So these folks in the first century didn't have a lot of rights. Wives, children, and slaves. Those are the subordinate or the submissive roles that we're going to be looking at. Husbands, parents, and masters, the authoritative roles that we're going to look at. And we'll get to present time a little later. We hear the same message, really, about submission in three different texts. Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Peter. Wives, submit to your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. All dealing with submission. Our text today, we're going to look at Ephesians 5:21 through 6:9. So if you got your Bibles, open it up. That's really the only section we're going to look at today. In this passage, we find that there are responsibilities assigned to both parties, both the submissive and the authoritative role. And these are roles, okay? I'm going to tell you that we're commanded to submit to one another. This is a new concept, really, that was introduced by the church, by the apostles, by the teaching of God. The child obeys parents in the Lord, but parents are not to exasperate them. The slave is to serve wholeheartedly, while their masters are to treat the slave with consideration and concern. So what, and trust me, you in your life are going to be involved in both submissive and authoritative roles, both, and at different times, sometimes on the same day. In fact, many times on the same day, perhaps. You will be in an authoritative role and also a submissive role. So you need to understand what the responsibilities of those roles are. So I don't want to focus too much on wives and husbands, too much on children and parents, too much on slaves and masters. I want to focus on the authoritative role and the submissive role. Now, if you were with us last Sunday evening, Ken had a pretty good lesson, I thought. And he laid out a template or a pattern that is evident in the New Testament. In particular, he talked about how we have a principle given to us, and then often the verses that follow are applications of that principle, or they are illustrations of that principle. And that's what we find, I think, in this passage. In 5:21, clearly, it tells us, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then the following verses, all the way through 6:9, provide us greater detail. They give us illustration of roles and of submission. Wives and husbands. But there's also this, the church and Christ included in there. The first of each of these roles is the submissive role in the relationship, but specific instruction is given to both about responsibilities. We should all work to create a submissive attitude in our heart. As I mentioned earlier, it is very difficult to accept the teaching in Luke 9:23. Deny yourself, pick up your cross daily, and follow Christ. Very difficult to do that without a submissive attitude. So, consequently, I suggest that we all work to develop a submissive attitude. So let's read the text. Beginning in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Okay. As I read through that, and you listened to it, or you read it with me, did you see how we had a principle, and then we had a number of applications that followed? Okay, to help illustrate. Now, could Paul have selected more illustrations? Are there other submissive roles that he might have called on? Certainly. But he chose these three because they were familiar. And quite frankly, to the first century church, this was radical teaching. Okay? We want to talk about definitions just a little bit. I always do that. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, this first word, submit, literally means to subordinate. Reflexively, to obey, King James often translates the same word as be under obedience, put under, subdue, subject. Okay, but most of the translations don't have much variation here. They all typically will translate it as submit. This is the same word we find in verse 22 and verse 24. Reverence, phobos, to be put in fear, alarm, or fright. When I see this, reverence is a little bit light to me. Right? That's my interpretation. This word in the Greek means fear. Okay? There's no question about it. The next word, Christ, some translations actually translate that as God. So often it will read, submit to one another out of fear for God or fear of God. But this word, Christ, again, this is Christos, okay? It means Christ. This was the word the Greeks used to mean Messiah. So it's very clear to me that it's Christ. The one word that causes me some difficulty is reverence. When it's translated as reverence or respect, I feel like we're not translating it correctly. And this is fear. Okay, this is alarm. Make no mistake about it. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Now, this is a key phrase, as to the Lord. Okay? It is the attitude that we're to take when we are in a submissive role, as to the Lord. You know, whether we're, you know, slaves and masters is not real easy to understand, but if we look at in a modern day as an employer and an employee, many of us have been employees or in fact are employees. Our attitude towards whom it is that we serve in that situation would, you know, we need to have the attitude that we are serving them as to the Lord. We work for them as to the Lord. Whatever your role, view your responsibilities as to the Lord. It is ultimately Christ that we serve. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. There are a number of duties that are outlined about the husband. Not only love, but love them as your own body. Care for them. Feed them. Ask you a question. Which do you think is a harder role, to be submissive or to love? Depends on who you're loving. That brought some chuckles. Well, let me ask it again. Which do you think is the harder role, to be submissive or to love? Let me ask you a different question. Think with me about the opposite of submit, okay? The antonym to submit, what comes to mind? Control? Dominates? What else? The opposite of submit. Rebel? Disobedience? The one I thought of first, and I had to search to find it, most thesaurus didn't include it, was defiance. Okay? You don't submit, you defy. So which do you think is the harder role, to be submissive or to love? Either one of them is hard. Yeah, I kind of think that, I think, I would agree. Yeah. Now let me tell you about myself. I think sometimes I forget to love. I just forget. But if I refuse to submit, then I'm being defiant. I forget to love, that's ignorance, okay? But not submitting, that's defiance. I know what I'm supposed to do, I just don't do it. On the love, the other hand, sometimes I just smooth forget. I get too busy or I get distracted and I don't have my eye on the ball. But I think Margaret's right. We, you know, both of them are difficult. We're gonna breeze past that and go to 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This word obey is very similar to the word submit. It's not exactly the same, but the root is the same. And it literally means to listen attentively and by implication to heed or conform to whatever that instruction is, to be obedient. Parents are not to exasperate their children. It's a big word, but it means to anger, to enrage, to provoke. Don't do that, whether you do it do it maliciously or do it out of ignorance. Don't do that. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. This word obey in verse 5 is the same word in verse 1. Refers to obedience. The idea of service is introduced in verse 7. So I want you to start to think about this relationship. We've got a subordinate role and we've got an authoritative role. Both have a requirement or a responsibility in Christianity to serve. Yes, Roger. In the Lord. I think you raise a good point. No, I cannot tell you. To me, I think the instruction is pretty literal. Okay, children are to be obedient to their parents. Now, I realize sometimes that can be challenging. And I think in all of these relationships, we're to submit or be obedient up to the point that it causes us to sin. We don't go there. I'm going to suggest that, that's okay. Actually, it leads me to a good point. I'm going to suggest that these two roles are complementary. You know, we got the idea of service is introduced in the slave-master relationship. I think it's applicable in all of these roles. Wherever you find a submissive role and an authoritative role, our responsibility is to serve, okay? Serve wholeheartedly. In fact, I think there are more duties laid out for the authoritative role than for the submissive role, and that one feeds the other. If the authoritative role is serving by example and word, then it's easy for the submissive role to be submissive. I agree. Being submissive is a lot easier when the authoritative role is loving you, right?
You know, those scriptures about between the wife and the husband,
mm-hmm.
This is what Christian psychologists use to bail people out so they can divorce their spouse.
I don't know.
Well, I'm here to tell you. They
Okay, Margaret. Touche. I told you, I confessed I'm ignorant, okay? I get busy, I get distracted, and I forget to do certain responsibilities. I forget certain responsibilities. She'll tell you that. Yes, ma'am. You notice these comments are coming from the ladies. They're the multitaskers. You know, us guys, we get our head down, and we're doing that thing, you know, whatever it is, we're engaged, and we're doing a good job. Anniversary date slides right by us. You know, something of significance, we forget. We're not paying attention. And children, wives, whoever's in the subordinate role really deserves more, number one. But number two, if we're not paying attention to the right things, then we forget or we'll overlook it. And feelings get hurt. All right. Good. Well, that's a good comment. I don't know that I can repeat it all, but I do know that I'm not talking about every little thing. But if you're not paying attention, sometimes you miss the one little thing that's important. So it's important, guys, to be vigilant. It's important to everybody, guys and girls, be vigilant. We need to pay attention to these relationships that we have. The Spirit didn't write it that way. I'm sorry. And you know, that's the way it is. Submit. You know, one of the things I read you recall Jesus struggled at Gethsemane, right? And he asked the Lord to take this cup away. But how'd that play out? You know, he was submissive unto death. He was obedient unto death. So as a Christian, we need to have a submissive attitude. We need to work at developing that submissive attitude. You guys have got me off track. I don't even know where I'm at. So this idea of service, I really believe, and I want you to understand that these two roles require service. Okay, to make them work. Okay, that's one feeds the other. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. This phrase, in the same way, implies the concept of serving. Okay, it's referring to the passage about the slave itself. Masters, treat your slaves the same way. Why? Because God shows no favoritism between the two roles. Whether it's husband and wife, whether it's slave or free, slave or master, he doesn't show any favoritism. He's expecting us to behave a certain way towards one another. Okay? To serve one another, to love one another, to build one another up. I could go on and on. God shows no favoritism. What about the world? Too often we tend to emphasize the rights of the authoritative or superior role to control or influence the person who is below. Paul tells us, you know, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. He's given us a reason to submit out of reverence for Christ, out of fear of Christ. We're able to maintain humbleness that considers others better than yourselves, Philippians 2. Look not only to the interest of yourself, but to the interest of others. Maintaining an attitude of loving concern for one another actually strips the rights from the authoritative role, and it also strips the humiliation from the submissive role. How does the world view authority and submission? I mean, from the time we're little till we grow up and die, the world is telling us something different. How does the world look at authority and submission?
Negatively on both?
What's the big event today? Super Bowl. Come on. Come on. The Super Bowl is the big event today. Yeah, it's all about glory and fame and respect and honor, and everybody wants to be the star, you know? We elevate, in our culture, our society elevates people who succeed, who are the fastest, the biggest, who make the most money, who have the most authority, have the most control. You know, people, and we do the same thing. I mean, what do when we meet one another? What do you do? What difference does it make? Okay, we're all equal in the Lord's eye. The Christian attitude towards authority and submission is different as opposed to the world. The world sees the one in authority as exalted. Each person's value is determined by the position he holds, that is, in the world. That's the way they look at it. Christians aren't supposed to do that. In Christ's church, the whole pattern's rejected. Each person's value exists apart from his role. The slave is just as important to God as the master. The husband and the wife are equally important to the Lord. The child and the parent are equally important to the Lord. The real issue is about power and service. Okay? The world looks at power. The Christian looks at service. That's our responsibility, is to serve one another. Now, depending on our role, whatever role you're in, you have different opportunities to serve. The underlying thought is that authority and submission are not to be viewed as humiliation, but as providing different opportunities to serve. For example, if I'm a master, I serve my slaves by treating them with fairness and respect. If I'm a slave, I serve my master wholeheartedly through loyalty. That's right. He who is first will be last. He who is last will be first. Consider the three relationships. I'm going to ask you a few questions and then the lesson's yours. How does the superior role provide an opportunity to serve others? How does the authoritative role provide opportunities to serve? By being a good example? How else? Say that again. Benefactor? Explain. Okay. By forgiving debts, creating benefits for the slave, yeah? That's good. What else?
It's not consistent with what we think is the general order of things. It's not a world requirement that the superior serve the inferior. So when the superior elects to do this and does in as serving Christ, then it is a true service. It's a true submission.
When the authoritative figure steps down and serves the slave, think about Jesus washing the feet. When the authoritative figure does that, what type of attitude does that create in those whom he's serving, in the slave?
I was just thinking about the Roman centurion with the slave that was sick.
The Roman centurion with the slave that was sick. Explain.
He went to... He was so concerned.
He had concern. He went out of his way. He took time. And he had faith, and that faith resulted in the slave's healing. How, you know, you guys are coming up with some good thoughts, but let's be more practical. I mean, you're going to be in an authoritative role sooner or later, okay? What opportunity to serve does that provide you?
Bring good things, not bad. Just look at the divided kingdom. When you had a good king, it was a breath of fresh air, wasn't it?
Bring good things, not bad. Do good things. Well, let me turn it around on you. How does the submissive role provide this opportunity? So if you're in a submissive role, how does that create opportunity for you to serve? Yeah, David. His service started very small, and he was given more and more authority, and he continued to serve those who were under him. Unique translation there. I'm going to tell you that service is service, okay? It doesn't matter whether you're in an authoritative role or whether you're in a submissive role. Service is service. You're going to have pretty much the same opportunities. They might be to care for. They might be to arrange benefits for. They might be to go out of the way for, but they're genuinely the same. Let me run through a list here. Care for, obey, feed, sustain, help on worldly matters. How might each person's attitude towards authority affect the relationship? How might each person's attitude, so if I've got an attitude that's not submissive, or I have a problem with authority, how's that going to affect my ability to serve? Will you do it? It's going to be hard. It makes it difficult. Might make you unwilling to serve. So it begins with our attitude. It's very important for us to take a submissive attitude and nurture a submissive attitude as we build our relationships with one another. All right. Well, y'all are not very talkative today. I think, you know, one of the interesting comments, I told Janice I was kind of struggling with this lesson earlier in the week. You know what her first response was? Do we get a walk? No.
I'll volunteer. I heard it once that people, employers, always look for Christians because they made the best work, but that was not as true today because Christians forgot how to be civilized.
That may be. Yeah, John's saying that employers at one time really looked to put Christians in authoritative roles because they worked very hard, they were very trustworthy. I have a young man who works for me, and he's a Christian of a denomination, but his upbringing was impeccable, I think. I mean, he is very ethical, very moral, and I trust him greatly. Now, hopefully that didn't come back to bite me, but I have a lot of confidence in his character as a Christian. All right. Well, that's the lesson for today. Next week, we're going to talk about love. The text is John 13, verses 34 through 35. And I really do think you need to go back and look at this verse in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Have a good day.